Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where the Where from baby shower gifts for new parents to bedtime read-alouds all year long, this adorable podcast is perfect for anyone you love very much. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. I don't know if people realize it, but that's not actually our own intro.
That's not our own intro.
Yeah. You might think, wow, that just sounds totally like a normal thing that Molly would say. But in fact, it's based on the promo copy for I Love You Like No Otter.
No
a
Otter.
A funny and sweet Valentine's Day board book for babies and toddlers.
Because we have moved on from terms of service to the very obvious next step in bastardized about statements. Board books
board
for
books.
Babies.
Yeah. I mean, you all saw this coming. So.
I love you like no otter. You truly are the best. My special little squeak heart.
Oh my God.
A squeak step heart. Above the rest.
Wow.
This is why you come here week after week for the show. I mean, I hope this has not driven you away.
I hope it's not the only thing, because then they'll stop. And we've got other great stuff to tell them about.
Just having a blast. Yeah. Anyway, now you know what to get for Valentine's Day for your toddler. Because apparently we also do that now.
So get that for your toddler and then perhaps a watch choker for the other people in your life.
I just love, by the way, all of the ways to come at the Ur thing.
The Ur thing that is not even a thing. It's just the universe that is Taylor Swift.
Exactly. But there are tendrils.
Yeah. It's like the ether. Taylor Swift permeates everything.
Yep.
And yet, you know, if you observe it at the right angle, you can detect it.
Yes, and you can detect things coming off of it.
Yeah, so at the Grammys, Taylor Swift wore what is normally a watch you would wear around your wrist around her neck, presumably by taking the watch off of the normal band and putting it on a choker somehow, and then putting it around her neck, and everybody wrote about it, and now predicts, this is a predict thing, not a thing, that people will start wearing watch chokers, which I think is a pretty good bet.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. And it has the additional benefit of hearkening back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything must right now, all things 90s are totally in. And so it's got, so chokers of all sorts.
Yeah.
Know, like, remember the bone choker from the, like, I guess that was sort of early 2000s, but probably originated
the
in the 90s.
Choker?
But yeah, it was like, it looked like a string of three kind of bone-like things with beads in between.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
A little bit puka shell looking.
Yeah.
I like the watch choker. It looks super good. It was custom for her, to be clear. So we don't know, you know, it's going to take a while for this to show up on Temu. Like, I'm going to say three,
like,
two,
like
one.
There
it's
by
there.
Now. Yeah. Like about now seems right.
About now. Someone else can just peek at your neck and see what time it is.
Yeah. The best part about this is on the Variety article that I marked for this. This was not there when I marked this, by the way, is an ad for an Etsy shop selling vintage watch chokers.
Oh my God, I see it too.
Now, granted, they're vintage because they look old, not because they haven't been handmade by the Etsy shop maker themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm assuming the watch itself is vintage, and then that's
that
what
makes
was
sense.
Made into
okay,
the,
yeah, no, you're right.
The
watch,
I guess.
Yeah, the watch could be vintage. I can see that.
Oh, but this has like a whole extra steampunk chic to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm here for watch choker.
Watch
dude, I think you're right.
Watch choker.
This is going to be a thing. This is probably where we should also just put a pin in our awareness of the Tracy Chapman thing. It's the thingiest thing that ever thinged.
The Tracy Chapman thing?
Coming out of the Grammys?
Yeah. What's the thing? Yeah.
Just that she now is a thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Her surprise duet now has made everyone remember that she wrote that song.
And it is wonderful. And there's this like outpouring.
And she's cool. And
but it's about to turn. Like, as we are speaking, we're at the point where I thought to myself today, because I am with all of the people who said, oh my God, watching her perform that song with Luke Combs, who did the remake, who, you know, kept every lyric the same so that she could get the songwriting credit for it. Like, it's a really lovely story. And he was clearly so thrilled to be on stage. And it was a really great coming together of unexpected audiences. Like, everything about it was freaking perfect. And now the internet is about to ruin it by writing pieces that are like, where has Tracy Chapman been? Here's what we know about Tracy Chapman. Da 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 da. And it's just, it's like, that's the difference between cultural moment and thing, and then thing that you wish had not happened.
Do you think Tracy Chapman leaked the Drake nude then to like divert attention away from it?
Oh, probably. Because she doesn't like attention like that.
Yeah. She's like, oh, look, Drake's naked.
Bye. And then she scampered back.
I got a fast car. I'm out of here.
Into the woodwork. Scampered back into the woodwork.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
And you know what? Since we're talking about the Grammys, Joni Mitchell. Wow.
Oh, my God.
I had a period in my life where I just loved listening to Joni Mitchell, and it was like Joni Mitchell cassette tapes that had been put out in the 90s, Joni Mitchell, like not even the classic stuff. And so seeing her do that, like just on 17 different levels, impressive.
Magical. I, at this exact moment, just by coincidence, am wearing my sweatshirt from the Brandi Carlile Hollywood Bowl show where she was. It was Brandi Carlile and friends. So it was the final show of her tour. And she, her friends were all those people who were on stage with Joni Mitchell, including Joni herself. So she brought out Joni Mitchell, Annie Lennox, Wendy and Lisa, there was that other one, Allison Russell. But I'm feeling like, oh my God, yes, I was totally there for that. And it was amazing. But also, I am now realizing, because I have been joking since Sunday that Grammys was the most like Gen X. If you were Gen X, especially if you were a Gen X white lady, you've never had a better night watching an award show.
It was pretty old. Like, let's not lie. Yeah.
It does kind of cement the like thingness of Gen X in general, too. It's sort of like all that stuff.
I suppose. Yeah.
It was, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Grammys being good, kind of a thing this week.
I mean, unless you're young.
Yeah. Believe me, my kid was like, okay.
Like, what? Sure. Really? Dua Lipa is all we get? Oh, okay. Yeah. We got Burna Boy. I guess that's kind of cool.
Exactly. They were like, whatever.
Watch Choker. Let's see if she wears it to the Super Bowl when she flies there straight from Tokyo to be proposed to.
Exactly. And I have a quote that I think is apropos to how we should be, how we responded to the Grammys and how we should be thinking about, you know, Taylor Swift and whatever.
Okay.
Whatever lifts the corners of your mouth, trust that. Trust that. That's a quote by the 13th century poet Rumi.
Oh, no, not again. No,
who is a thing?
Rumi's back. Oh, don't call it a comeback. Rumi's been on your bookshelf store for years.
Don't call it a comeback. You've been seeing Rumi quotes since 1207. Okay, probably not 1207 because that's
but
when
whatever.
You were born.
Yeah, it was 13th century. So yeah,
1250. Yeah. You know. I don't. I cannot quantify this. I mean, Rumi has been a thing. Rumi, you know, per the BBC in 2014, was the best-selling poet in the United States. Like, Americans love Rumi. The world loves Rumi. It's, I guess, because of the pithy kind of Instagram-esque quotes. But like, dude, everywhere I look, it's like, live, laugh, love, and also love is the bridge between you and everything. Rumi. Yeah. I'm seeing Rumi on dating apps.
I want to explain my reaction to Rumi because I actually think Rumi's awesome, and I think the quotes are like very Zen koan like in wisdom.
Wonderful.
It is some of the people who loved Rumi who came into Half Price Books in Austin, Texas in the 90s that make me go, oh no.
I get it. You have been there. You have been in the roomy trenches.
Yeah. Yeah. I fought in the roomy wars.
You fought in the roomy war. Oh my God. Tell us more about the roomy people.
You could kind of tell, see them come in because they wore very flowy things, generally tie-dyed. And then they would also ask for this other philosopher that I had. It had a yellow book cover and I'm blanking on the name, but it was like you were going to get Rumi and that person. And they were very clearly sure you didn't know what they were talking about because they would tell you at length when all they needed to say is where do you keep the Rumi books?
Right.
They would start not with where do you keep the Rumi books, but so I'm looking for a poet named Rumi. It's an Afghani writer from the Middle Ages, but Islamic, and writes poetry, and they're beautiful. They're brilliant quotes and inspiring. And I'm like trying to be like, it's in the religion and philosophy.
It's in the seven. It's just right over there.
Religion, right. Yeah, philosophy.
Tom, yep. Run from what's comfortable. Forget safety. Live where you fear to live. Destroy your reputation. Be notorious. I have tried prudent planning long enough. From now on, I'll be mad. Dash Rumi.
I mean, I actually like a lot of these. I like a lot of these. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And just happens to fit perfectly over your Instagram image, I think is probably why.
Yeah.
We're back.
Rumi just might look at this and go like, hey, can you read these in context more?
Right?
Instead of can just clipping them out. Actually, like, yeah.
Do you have to put them? Actually, Icor in the Discord points out he really did write Live, Laugh, Love. Here's the quote. Laugh as much as you breathe. Love as long as you live. I think there's a non-zero chance that's the origin story for Live, Laugh, Love.
I think we may have discovered the root source. You're right.
Wow. Wow. This show has everything.
Everything.
We just sit, be still, and listen. Dash Rumi. My favorite part is just how everything has Dash Rumi after it. It's just so
Dash Rumi.
Dash Rumi.
Wherever what's the other? Stand, there's another. There's another poet that's not, it's not so similar. The poet themselves is not similar to Rumi, but it was in that same, like, like that same infinitely vibe quotable. Of like, I'm cool. Cause I like this poet and I can't remember anything today, but yeah,
I'm looking. Yeah. Infinitely quotable poets like Rumi.
And I think this one that I'm thinking of was more of a romance.
Is poet. It? I don't know. But remember, there was somebody who wrote a book called The Golden Ring or something. Now I'm down all these kind of the same rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I'm just getting other Middle Eastern poets, which is probably not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. I bet ChatGPT would know, but you know. Technically, we're in the middle of a podcast. Anyway, like we said, been a thing since the 13th century.
Yeah.
Turns out the Instagram age was made for a Rumi resurgence. And good I for maintain
Rumi. Yeah.
Rumi's back.
Well, keeping in the theme of artistic stuff. John Cage's 639-year-long organ piece changed its chord this week.
What? From the obscure to the super duper obscure.
This is a thing that it's like, oh, that's a thing that exists. Not, it's a thing that's trendy, right? This is.
I want it to be.
Yeah, this is one of those things like, there's a 639-year-old organ piece being played in Germany? That's a thing? Yes, that is a thing. It was started in 2001. It's called As Slow as Possible, composed by John Cage, and being played on a specially built organ, not set to finish playing until the year 2640. And because everyone knew a chord change was coming, a crowd gathered to witness the change.
How much of a crowd?
Crowds gathered. That's all
there
it says.
There are people. Yeah. I know. Yeah. His most famous piece, 4 minutes and 33 seconds, is designed to be played by any combination of instruments, but musicians are instructed not to play them.
Yes.
Instead, listeners hear the sound of their surrounding environment during the 4 minutes and 33 seconds the work lasts. That is so roomy.
It fit right in, right? The last time the chord changed was 2 years ago, February 5th, 2022. And the next one is coming August 5th, 2026. That's about when Apple will put out a foldable.
I like this. It sort of roughly corresponds to like eclipses. Yes. I got it. I got your foldable joke. That's funny.
Thank you.
I think we can make this a thing, which I now want to, by somehow tying it to celestial movements or, you know, like what, like was there a key change? And because personally, I love a chord change or a key change. Like
yeah.
That's like my favorite thing.
No, I could see this becoming, what are you doing for chord change day? Chord change?
Right.
Day?
Like,
oh, yeah.
And just some, you know, he like.
ASLSP has got a chord change coming August 6th.
And there's an eclipse.
And there's an eclipse.
You know, he somehow timed it with the, you know, motion of the universe. Wow. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it when Tom pulls a what the out of thin air.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan. It's been a while. It's been a while since you went like not Mongolian metal, because that really did become a thing. But.
And again, this is not me saying everybody's going to be talking about John Cage. It's more of the sense of like, that's a thing. Like,
love
it. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. So that when you hear about it, you'll be like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's I a heard thing. About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, of course, as I play the song at 2x on Spotify,
so it only takes
330 years. Well played.
Bravo. Bravo. Golf clap for that.
Yeah.
Bravo. Bravo. My final thing for today, we skipped past this somewhat quickly in the bullpen episode we determined, but we got to come back to it because I have now had like 9,100 people be like, you got to talk about kava bars.
And again, as I think I may have said on the bullpen version, not kava, C-A-V-A, the right. Champagne-like bubbly wine. This right. is K-A-V-A, right?
K-A-V-A, exactly. And I kept hearing it as kava bars, and I was like, I went to a really fun one in Barcelona once.
Yeah,
and
right.
These cheap sandwiches, and then you walk down to the beach with a bottle of kava. No, not that. Apparently, there is a beverage called kava, K-A-V-A, and it is a social drink. It's sort of, I would say that it's like the beverage version of hookah, and that these bars have that vibe. Like you go to a kava bar and you have this beverage that makes you feel calm and reduces anxiety. And these bars have like gotten super popular. Positive effects of kava to their patrons and the kava community is the community is then known to cheer the Fijian catch-all phrase, Bula! When they share drinks. So then it makes it more fun because you get to like be not anxious and yell at each other.
Yep.
Research suggests that frequent use doesn't impair cognitive function. And
that's good.
You can just kind of, it's a plant from Southeast Asia. They make tea out of it. And so you can get tea or like mixed beverages. And these bars are popping up everywhere.
Kava like has a reverse tolerance. So if you're new to kava, let us know, says cosmicavenapples.com. I guess that means you won't feel an effect the first time. Like the more you use it, the more effect you feel.
Oh, well, that's convenient. Oakland evidently has two. We've got Root Water and Mellow Mellow. Get it? Mellow Mellow Kava Bar.
Yeah.
And
so these
says,
are a South Bula. Pacific tuber or root. That they make the kava out of.
I mean,
like Fiji is apparently a place where they source this.
Yeah. Mellow Mellow.
Space Bar Kava and Coffee we have. Oh, we had one near me, but it closed. Permanently closed.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, and then there's Cavanabus.
Of course.
Which is a pot store and kava bar.
See, now that's culture? Not a surprise. Yeah. It's a thing. In fact, Mello,
one in Hollywood.
There you go. Mello has stores. They're opening soon in Los Angeles, opening soon in Berkeley, and they currently have a store in Oakland and Santa Cruz.
Nice.
Cava knowledge.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Yeah.
Just feels like it's because there's just this kind of, I don't know, it goes with weed bars and whatever. But, yeah. but it's interesting that despite legalization in so many places, like marijuana still, probably because those places get robbed all the time, unfortunately, dispensaries, still they're not like cafes in Amsterdam.
Sure.
So this is more of a hookah kind of, you know, go get like slightly chill.
So
coffee bar.
This is a great one for people to know because even if they have these in your area or not, you're either going to be in your area, you're going to be traveling somewhere, and you would never have looked twice at this. Mm-hmm. But now you're going to see that KAVA and you're going to be like, wait, that's one of those kava bars Molly was telling me about.
Oh, it's from Vanuatu. Interesting.
Fiji and Vanuatu. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Bula. And then you will be like, oh, I yell Bula. Or is it Bambuklat? I can't remember because that's...
You'll yell Bambuklat. I can't remember if it's Bula.
And that's what you're here for, friends.
Hey, we are here for your things, which you very generously emailed to us at feedback@itsathing.me. Kristen wrote in with a rebrand thing. Greetings from Toronto, Canada. Longtime listener, first time writing in. I love that. I wanted to tell you about the thing that is butter beans. I noticed a lot of vegan and vegetarian recipes recently on my feed for butter beans, which I had never heard of, but sound delicious. I looked them up, and it seems the lima bean lobby has been busy rebranding them. I wasn't sure this was really a thing until today. I went to a bulk food store where the bin of dried butter beans was empty, but all the other lentils and legumes were still full. Butter beans are a thing.
That's amazing. I have seen butter beans mentioned in recipes and did not know they were lima beans. Well done.
If I ever knew it, I forgot it. But I know butter beans. Butter beans have been around since I was a kid because we used to have them in the pantry. Mm.
I bet they were lima beans the whole time. I bet.
I had
but
no
now
idea.
they've popularized the rebrand. I love
it. Yeah.
It's smart. Like chickpeas and garbanzo beans, I guess.
Yeah. I guess so. Very similar. Except butter beans sounds way better than lima beans.
I assume that's why. And lima beans are just in that kind of like Brussels sprouts categories. Yeah. My kids hate that. So butter beans sounds delicious.
But also incredibly deceptive because there is no butter unless you add it.
Right. And if you're vegan, you're not going to.
No. Well, you might add vegan butter, I guess. But yeah.
That's true. Mm. Vegan butter, not terrible. It's all just oil.
Yeah. Add it to your lima beans.
Add it to your lima beans. Dare you. Add that oil. Coagulated oil to your lima beans and enjoy. Russell wrote in with more sticker graffiti. I mean, this is a thing. This has staying power. Hi, Molly, Tom, and Rich. On a recent episode, you were talking about sticker graffiti. Looks like it is alive and well in New York City. Photo attached. Saw this in Central Park today. Thanks so much for all the fun things you bring.
You know, kids these days, too lazy to pull out the old spray can. Just slap a sticker.
Slapping stickers. We just did that. I was in Tahoe with my friend, and we put everybody on a pool sticker on a beer box. Oh, I did some graffiti.
You're so rebel. You're so punk.
I know. I was scared. I was like, we're going to get in trouble.
All right. I want to address this. This next one's very serious, and I want to address it directly. Sandra from Kirkland on spray candy. Hi, Molly, Rich, and Tom. This is mostly for Tom and more of a PSA than a thing. I was equal parts delighted and horrified by your spray candy discovery.
So was Tom.
I know you are health conscious, so might I suggest an alternative? I discovered this from Insta influencer Trader Joe's List, also a thing. In our house, we call it It's a Thing Trader Joe's Edition.
What?
Propolis throat spray from B&U. It's got honey and propolis, this healing stuff bees produce in their hives. It's a little sweet and a little sour, like you described the spray candy. And maybe better for you, try not to OD on the spray candy.
No. We're already milkshaking the spray candy. It's been out there in the world for 1 week.
Thank you, Sandra, for your concern and for the recommendation. If I run across this, I'll probably give it a try. But I did send Sandra a note to be like, just so you know, like, this spray candy has been in the house for weeks. There's not much in it, so I am likely not going to ever buy it again either. But it is nice to know that there's an alternative. So thank you, Sandra.
I do really, really. That is wonderful, and I appreciate the concern for Tom's health and all of our health. And also, come on. People out here drinking like big gulps the size of Yugo cars. Let the man spray his candy.
Saray says you can't invoke bees to imply health.
Yeah, you'll get that if you have a cold. But when you want a little sugar hit, a little spritz.
Yeah.
Spritz.
That spray candy is still half full. Like, I know on the show I was making a bit out of like continually picking it up, but it's probably going to last all year if I'm honest.
Jody in Minneapolis has some things. Hello, Molly, Richard, Tom. I hope this is very formal. I hope this email finds you well. Mocking this greeting has been a thing for a long time. Yes, it has. Big fan. My two real thing checks. Perms for young men, including teenagers. A friend told me her hairstylist said it's very popular. Fascinating. Hmm. And then two, using tahini in new ways. You mentioned it as part of a shake recently, and I've made several batches of blondies with tahini.
I'm making that tonight.
A search reveals that there are many uses for this magical ingredient beyond baba ganoush and hummus.
Uh-huh. We were going through tahini. What were we using it in? I think it was in shakes, like smoothies. We were using tahini quite a bit for a while.
I think that's what she is bouncing off there. But
yeah.
Tahini blondies, I'm looking up right now. Oh, my goodness. Super Bowl saved.
Well done. Thank you, Jody.
That's a good spot, by the way, because I bet it's like a big paleo thing.
I've definitely seen some K-pop stars do the perm thing, so I will keep an eye out for the teenagers in my neighborhood, see if I notice it there too.
I have a topic coming next week that may address some of the perm thing. Teasing ahead.
Oh, look at that. Oh,
now look how fresh.
We're getting so evening news. I don't know why I said evening news, actually. They don't tease ahead that far. Coming up after the break.
After the break, yeah. Sports.
Coming up after the break, Jose has a word of warning about student driver stickers. That actually would be a really good local news.
That's excellent.
Yeah, except we're not going to take a break. Instead, we're going to tell you what Jose's word of warning is. From the Department of Florida Makes Everything Worse, my best friend is an insurance fraud adjuster, and when I brought said sticker for my 16-year-old, he immediately made me remove it. That sticker is a giant beacon for gangs of insurance fraud roaming around here in Florida. We see student driver Be Kind, they see student driver Easy Target. So sage advice from an insurance fraud lead investigator, remove the stickers and buy a dash cam back and forward. Save your teen from having their record messed with by a fraudster and he or she's said claim. Trust me, they never believe the kids, especially those self-labeled by a beautiful reflective sticker.
Okay, wait. So you see somebody with that sticker and you hit them on purpose and then you say it was their fault and then the courts, of course, believe.
I'm sure you do it in a way. You do it in a way that is like if you can get them to rear end you, which you can do,
of course.
You almost never are liable if you get rear ended. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you see a student driver, you could do something from in front, like brake really fast. And then they'll be like, wow, you sure you were following too close or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the one necessarily, but I can imagine scenarios like that where fraudsters know what they're doing and figure out how to cause an accident that looks like it's the teenager's fault. You have admitted that they were inexperienced by putting the sign. And so the court is going to take that into account.
All right. Thank you for that. Dash cam it is. Everything is cool until it's not.
That really was local news. I didn't even intend that. I didn't even match that up. But that was perfectly local news. Thank you, Jose.
Absolutely incredible. New shout out patron, Pepe Kevin Dunn. Welcome. Wrote in to let us know, I'm in East Tennessee and all I hear is welcome to the name of the store.
Oh, okay.
So welcome to Sephora. Welcome to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay.
I apologize. I don't know why.
I on the other hand, left It's a Thing yeah. to go to the pet store and immediately had someone say, welcome in. And I texted Molly and Rich, like, it's been 30 minutes.
He's like, then confirm 30 minutes literally as soon as I left the house.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's regional. Love it.
Possibly love regional. It, it. Yeah. Thanks to Kevi, Lee Price, and David for sending us the Creed Super Bowl ad received within 9 minutes of each other. So they must have all seen it about the same time. And we've got a YouTube link we'll throw in the show notes as well. But yeah, Creed didn't need confirming, but you know, well, why not? Let's confirm it anyway, right?
Holy cow. Yeah, now we know it's still going.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, this is the greatest. This is the greatest like 1 year period of my old life. I'm so grateful.
All right, let's get to the shout outs. We give shout outs to anyone who backs us at our top level, whether it be a month or the entire run of the show. We appreciate that support. And Rich Straffolino handcrafts these shout outs for you. No, just reading a list of names here. No. Rich puts thought into it.
No AI generated. Mm-mm. No chance.
He well, except for the one it. Time that we did that.
AI that's true. Generated. But only one.
But that
time
was on purpose. That was a bit.
Not, told you. It was
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah.
And you know this is not that because this is from the paper Exploring Public Opinion on Responsible AI Through the Lens of Cultural Consensus Theory, published in the Proceedings of the 57th Hawaii International Conference on System Sciences.
Of course.
So you know it's going to be good.
I'm putting some leather patches on my elbows and I'm ready to go.
I've got my pipe. As the societal implications of Brian Gianfracaro, BG, continue to grow, the pursuit of responsible Louis Saint-Amour necessitates Joe Hood engagement in its development and governance processes. This involvement is crucial for capturing Lee Price's perspective and promoting equitable Benjamin Forrests and outcomes. We applied Pepe Kevin Dunn consensus theory, P-KDCT, to a nationally representative survey dataset on various aspects of James C. Smith to discern beliefs and attitudes about responsible Kevin Sill in AJ Venturella.
Our AB puppy offers valuable Eric Duncans by identifying shared and contrasting views on responsible Valor trucks. Furthermore, this Morris Jones serves as a critical reference point for Gabriel Cohen and Laura Abel, enabling them to more effectively consider individual variances and group-level Jake Woods perspectives when making significant decisions and addressing Mike Aiken's concerns.
I mean, I think we can all agree that it is important to consistently and seriously address Mike Aiken's concerns.
I agree. Yeah. Mike Aiken supports almost everything we do. So I agree.
That is actually true. 1,000%. If Mike Aiken's has a concern, we're paying attention,
Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thanks again to everybody who supports us at the shout out level or any level. And again, welcome Pepe Kevin Dunn, our newest shout out member. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can join your fellow patrons. You will also get to join the rest of the fans in the Discord and chat along live when we record. Plus, you get an ad-free RSS feed.
Indeed. You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes or at our shopping page at itsathing.me/shop. And email us. Email us your things. Keep them coming. Feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.